Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
The following is a live production of the WarChant.com Multimedia Network and Real Talk 93.3. Fire up your grills. It's time for Tallahassee Game Day on WarChant TV and Real Talk 93.3.
That pass is intercepted. To the delight of all Seminole fans, the pick six.
WarChant.com's Jeff Cameron and Tom Lang bring you the latest news, updates, and analysis around the FSU program ahead of today's kickoff on Bobby Bowden Field.
Second and three, patient and explosive, and a touchdown for the Noles.
Tallahassee Game Day is brought to you by Zaxby's, the official chicken of sports fans. Tallahassee Zaxby's, proudly supporting Florida State University and Seminole Boosters for over 15 years. Zaxby's, indescribably good. Now live from Florida's capital city, here's WarChant.com's Jeff Cameron.
Hour number two, Tallahassee Game Day. Thanks for joining us on WarChant TV and 93.3 Real Talk Radio. Our thanks to Zaxby's, of course, always. By the way, today's sideline report brought to you by Bud Light. Tallahassee Noles, take note. This one's for you, announcing the Bud Light Sideline Experience Contest. If you're a Noel in Tallahassee, text Bud Light, Bud Light Fan, my bad, Bud Light Fan, to 31996. That's Bud Light Fan, all one word, to 31996. If you're the lucky winner, you score two sideline passes, hospitality passes, and fan gear for the FSU-Miami game on November the 13th. Must be 21 years of age or older in order to enter.
That's a winnable game.
Oh, yeah.
No matter what happens today or from here on. No, they're in trouble. They're in trouble, Mike.
I think Manny's going to be told to have a good day. It does seem that way.
He had that look about him even before they lost the game on Friday night. Or Thursday night, excuse me.
Well, you know, listen, we're not going to focus on them. We've got our own.
Oh, yeah.
Problems to deal with, but I would say that when they beat App State by the skin of their teeth at home and barely pulled that off, he was downright emotional. And I thought, ooh, times have gotten tough there. I mean, you squeak out a win against App State at home, and you're emotional.
Oh, we're like two people on either ends of perhaps a bar on a Tuesday. It's 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And they're looking at each other thinking, they got problems over there.
Yeah.
The truth is, you both have problems.
You both have problems.
It's 1 o'clock on a Tuesday.
Unless you're on vacation.
Right. Oh, it should be a work day. There is no vacation.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
You've been there for 3 hours already. Yeah. You know?
The guy that opens the bar was putting the key in the door, and you were standing there. Yeah, he was opening it. You're like,
at least I'm not Tucker over there. Yeah. It's like, well, you're kind of the same.
You and Tucker are the same guy.
People have come in for lunch and they're like, oh my. Okay. Yeah, yeah. All right. I see you working.
Hey, tough times. That's us right now. Hey, a lot of Seminole fans woke up today and it's game day.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
If we did not have this show, listen, if it wasn't on terrestrial radio, which we're grateful for here at our home at 93.3,
yeah.
Oh, I think, yeah. We were just meeting up on the interwebs. There might be a strong beverage.
Oh, buddy. You know, I just saw on Twitter, guy wrote in to us talking about this is a must win, and he didn't want to see any questionable coaches' calls or anything like that. Well, first of all, there's not a game that goes by, even with the really good teams of the world. Nick Saban's Alabama teams, there's not a single game in which there isn't a questionable call. I mean, coaches make mistakes. They're fallible. They're human beings. It happens. The game is played by human beings as well. Sometimes things aren't executed and makes the coach look bad. And there are a lot of things that in any one game that you can go, well, I don't know about that. But I'm not so demanding. I want what you want, which is a carryover from a week ago in which that sort of aggressive and the confidence and belief in what they're doing defensively, I want that to carry over because that is sustainable. Then all of a sudden you have something. You have something legitimate that you can hang your hat on. And I think they're close. I think they're close on that side of the ball. Now, the linebackers are just not going to be good. It's not going to happen. But everything else can operate efficiently. The run fits were right last week. The aggressiveness, the triggering downhill, the leverage, everything you're asked to do to play good defensive football was on display for 2.5 quarters. Okay.
How about 3.5?
Give me a full 3.
Not even 4.
Yeah.
Just something more.
Well, the problem is, though, Tom, if you have a disastrous other quarter, whichever one it is, you can lose the game. They lost the first quarter last week, overwhelmingly, and never regained a foothold. They could never win the game because of all that they gave up on the first 5 drives of the game. As it turned out, that's all they gave up, period, for the rest of the game, just those 5 drives. They were the first 5.
And it was 30.
Yes.
You know, it wasn't 18.
Right. That's a lot. 24. That's a lot of points. It's very efficient.
That's a lot of points.
Yeah, it's a lot of points. So, you know, you gotta meet me in the middle here, guys. I mean, I get it. This isn't this isn't the 93 defense. This isn't the 99 defense. I mean, you're going to have some problems, but you can be sound.
Let me put a little spin on the sideline report, because if we have a punt returner who's within 35 yards of the line of scrimmage, he needs to be reported to somebody on the sidelines who can then tell him to back up before the ball is snapped. Let's make sure.
That was just weird.
That is a massive, massive play. And I heard – the funny thing was I heard about it before I saw it. It's one of those things when you're out of town, you're out watching every single play. And I heard you guys lament it. And then I watched the game, the flow of it, how it happened. That first half is just ghastly. And in that moment, those 30 yards we lost are unbelievably massive. What they did to field position, the leverage of everything you could call, even if you wanted to get gadgety offensively,
right.
You're kind of pinned back. Louisville ends up having the ball again with decent field position. Don't do anything with it, but they take a valuable 3 or 4 minutes off the clock. I mean, think about that. If you had an extra 4 or 5 minutes, maybe a possession, maybe 2 if you're lucky, more than we had in that football game.
Yeah.
A real good chance we win it. That's where those little plays, man, we've got to, when you're this bad, you got to be detail sound. And you said it this week on the show. You can tell us which show in a moment. But we rep the hell out of special teams.
Oh,
and it doesn't look like it.
No, that is my number one complaint that it's the Jeff Cameron Show, weekdays 1 to 3 p.m., Monday through Friday, right here on 93.3 Real Talk Radio and War Chant TV. I have not been as harsh. I don't know if that's true. I haven't been as vocal about some of the coaching problems. When we're losing games, there's a lot of blame to go around, and there's a lot of elements of this team that if you hyper-focus on, you could really nitpick and say, this is bad, this is bad. And not all of those things are the direct result of delinquents from the coaching staff. It's not that. Some of it's ability, some of it's injury, some of it's a lot of different things. But then there are things that are squarely on the shoulders of the coaches. And I don't understand how you rep special teams as much as we rep special teams and then not be good in special teams, especially since it's a calling card, as brought up by the head coach.
The first credo he delivered was
now they're special not teams. They're not dreadful on special teams, but they're
it's not helping.
Yeah, right. It's not a
you
plus.
Need things
it's not
to
an
help.
Asset, Tom. It's not an asset.
Right. You need things to help.
Now it's not coaching that Fitzgerald can't make a kick. That's not on Mike. Mike can't make Fitzgerald make kicks. Mm-hmm. I mean, that kid at some point has to make a damn kick. But it's the stuff like you're talking about, where you misplay a ball because you're 35 yards from the line of scrimmage. Like,
right.
Why are you there?
Well, and that's it makes you sick when you're an opponent of a team that's good in special teams, and that's all you hear from the broadcasters. Oh, like with the Bears and Devin Hester back in the day, or Cordarrelle Patterson, or like,
well, this guy's a threat to take it to the house.
And you're like, good. I mean, that's all they've got? Well, I'd like to be the team that where the opponent goes, man, will they shut up about the special teams? I get it. They're good there.
Mm-hmm.
We need outside elements. We need outside elements
in
order to advance our cause.
Yeah,
Sean McGuire needs our help. Mike Norvell needs our help in every little facet that we can get better at not giving up 35 yards for no good reason.
Well, it was crazy because it ends up being, obviously, whatever that was, a 72-yard punt, I think it was, after the roll.
Right.
72.
Right.
I mean, Jesus.
And you look at the way momentum felt in that game. I'm a believer in momentum. I know that analytics heads will tell you it doesn't exist. For college kids, confidence. I mean, look at confidence. Look at the difference between a confident team and tell me that momentum doesn't exist.
Yeah, they'll argue that confidence is a real thing and momentum is not. That's fine. We'll get into sort of semantics with that. I mean,
philosophy 2000 level class. Here you go.
I do think, first of all, we all know confidence exists. We've all felt it in our own lives, whether it's giving a speech at a convention or whatever it might be. If you're prepared.
Situations affect confidence, and I would say that's the definition of momentum. Is circumstances that stack up together affect your confidence level? That is momentum, because it's perceived. If it's perceived, it's real.
Yeah, it's this confidence is people are probably get tired of me talking about it, but I jumped off your couch this past Saturday, as I said before, when
it's
pretty
comfy too.
When I saw it, it's a nice couch.
Yeah,
me and the cats were just chilling. But I jumped off your couch and I was like, okay. All right, there it is. I've seen it, because it was back-to-back short yardage plays, and you know the series I'm talking about.
Right, yep.
And I was, I mean, you'd have thought I was involved in the tackle. I was ready to chest bump. I mean, big moment.
There are 3 and 4 second developing plays, because it's like check, 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 make the play, and then it happened. Yeah.
Run fit, yes. Leverage, yes.
Yep, bouncing it,
trigger,
stringing it out. Yeah.
Hit that son of a, yes.
Yep.
There it is. And the hit was nasty. It was like, oh, no.
Well, Bradley can do that.
He will go downhill. He will run up and hit you.
Right. The uphill thing. You know.
He hit that kid so hard, I thought they were going to throw a flag. Because they love to throw flags just anytime somebody gets hit hard. But I was like, you're going to throw the flag now? You feel bad for him? You're going to cry for him? You're going to throw that flag? They didn't. I was shocked. I was patronizing him. I was very – because I was ready for it. They do it all the time. Tallahassee Game Day continues in a moment.
Tallahassee Game Day is brought to you by Zaxby's, the official chicken of sports fans. Tallahassee Zaxby's, proudly supporting Florida State University and Seminole Boosters for over 15 years. Now here's WarChant.com's Jeff Cameron and Tom Lang.
Tallahassee Game Day rolling on. We'll get to who's hot, who's cold in a moment. But I do want to say that you asked me yesterday, and I told you how I would check in with those emotions today. Still feel really good. The gut is intact, buddy.
Despite myriad deficiencies, you feel okay.
Yeah, I think so. I think so.
That got a little weaker. You went to, I think so.
Listen,
now.
I'm never going to be emboldened to a place where I announce emphatically that Florida State's going to win, you know, big or anything like that. I mean, right now. I mean, this year, this team, this version.
But you're still advising me to find a local grocery mart to get a bottle of Andre for $3.99, just in case.
Dry as a bone.
That's right.
Bone dry.
Bone dry. Bone dry champagne.
Bone dry.
For the long ride home.
Yeah. Yeah, so I am. I'm telling you, I'm going to get I'll get some bone dry champagne on my way home today and be ready to celebrate the big win this afternoon over Syracuse. Yeah, I am advising you.
So I guess you'll be on the email chain for the invite link to the postgame show, because you'll toast us.
I'll toast you.
All right.
Make sure you send me on that email chain.
All right, all right. Ready?
Bone dry.
Don't start too early.
No. I'll be locked in watching details.
Even if it's a rocking chair game, sir, don't do it.
No, I mean, you can get loose on the post game now. It's all right. I mean.
Well, that's right.
Yeah.
As long as you have a driver, right? You know,
I'm not driving anywhere. Yeah,
you're not driving, so you can do whatever the hell you want.
Who's Hot, Who's Cold is brought to you by Barano Heating and Air Conditioning, a longtime friend and partner of the Jeff Cameron Show. Turn to the experts at Barano Heating and Air Conditioning for all your heating and cooling needs. No matter what time of year it is, Barano will always be there for you. Head to baranoac.com or call 580. That can't be right.
That's correct. Yeah, we dropped the 850 for the local folks. They know it's 850.
Oh, okay. 580-4029 today. 580-4029 today. There you go. I'm looking forward to being able to turn on, and we're a ways away from this happening. The heat.
Yeah, didn't you get a taste of something last weekend? Wasn't it cool outside?
It was very cool when you were up in Kohler.
Yeah, yeah.
It was beautiful.
Well, like yeah, we sent some weather down.
We did. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, we bagged it up and chucked it.
No, it's true. It was the best week in a long, long time in Tallahassee while you were in Kohler.
I know. I wanted to be able to brag more about it. I'm like, it's nice down there. I can't send the weather screenshot.
Yeah, you send the shot, and I'm like, yeah, it's 2 degrees cooler there than it is here, pal.
Right.
Yeah, it was really, really nice. Even my brother in New Hampshire was shocked. He was like, really? I was like, yeah, it was 50s this morning. I was like, what are we doing? This is good stuff.
Oh, it's invigorating, man.
Yeah. No, I was.
We'll see it in 6 weeks.
Yeah, it's going to be a ways away. Who's hot? Who's cold? Jayshon Corbin's hot. There's no doubt, man. That guy is putting up numbers. In fact, this is an easy who's hot, who's cold. Jermaine Johnson on the other side of the ball, Tom, is hot as well. And then as far as cold, that FSU passing game is shaky.
Yeah, I'd say Robert Scott's health, that's cold. And hopefully it gets a little bit warmer today because there's some blow-bys akin to the 2018-2019 Noel offensive line. And they're putting 52 at right tackle to kind of mitigate the problems, but it doesn't do much. So hopefully he is much more healthy this week. Somebody else who is not too far behind, in fact, a half a sack behind Jermaine Johnson, who leads the country in sacks with 6 so far this season, is Cody Roscoe from Syracuse. So you've got a battle of two guys who are within a half, 0.5 sacks of each other. We'll see who comes out with the nation lead after this game.
I'll also note this for Florida State's defense, and this is, again, if you can kind of clean up these details and not give up the big play, you're really sound up front. You're really solid. The FSU is 5th in the ACC, 30th nationally, at 7.2 tackles for loss per game. A lot of tackles for loss for Florida State this year. They do a good job of getting penetration, resetting the line of scrimmage, tackling in the backfield. I've been very impressed with that group up front. And it is really just that front four because the linebackers aren't great. And we've said that it's a broken record. And then obviously we know what the back end has been. So, you know, it's that group up front that's been really good.
We'll try and find some different keys for the defense for the defensive keys of the game segment. But, yeah, Sean Tucker is also somebody who is white hot because he is leading number two in the nation on FBS in rushing yards and then yards from scrimmage. And that's the game today. That's it right there. It's your front four being able to dictate terms against Syracuse offensive line, and you hold Sean Tucker under a key number or a key yards per attempt, put it that way, because they're going to give him the ball if Liberty is any indication. That was a close game throughout.
Yeah, they're going to give him the ball.
He had 34 totes.
Yeah.
So that is what you're looking at here is that number 4.5 yards a carry, 5 yards a carry, or is it akin to what we've seen a lot of this season, which is 2.5 and 3 yards a carry? Big, big difference.
So to note here, and I know you know this because you watched the way too much Syracuse football in preparation for the piece you were doing. But they love to run, and this has been a new wrinkle when they made the shift at quarterback. They'll run 5 or 6 times a game that speed option.
Yes.
And if he keeps, because you're not sound and come up and put a hat on him, he's a big kid running the ball, getting to that second level.
Yeah, they do inside zone, outside zone, speed option, the triple option with the jet action from the receiver, all that kind of stuff.
Every team does the jet stuff now.
Yeah,
we do. Yeah.
That's why I think these two offenses are mirror images, except for the fact that Syracuse has a bruiser who can run at quarterback. That's the principal difference. We can throw it better, but, you know, again, it's 6 of 1, half a dozen of the other, because it's not great against the curve of college football itself.
I mentioned Corbin being hot while we're doing hot and cold. Jayshon Corbin has tied FSU's single season record of having 2 75-plus yard runs in the same year. I mean, obviously, he and Dalvin doing some things.
Right,
anytime you're in that category, that's pretty remarkable. And his average yards per rush, we know, is also up there because of those big chunk plays.
And it should be noted, too, it's not like we're scheming up wide-open runs where he doesn't have to do anything himself.
No, the jump cut that he makes guys miss in a very small window, yeah.
Correct. Yeah, his home run last week, it was well-schemed, and it was actually well-blocked.
Yes, it was.
That was a rare occasion. But his inside zone, they put him in a position where he has to make one guy miss, and then you're helped up by Louisville's linebacker play, which was terrible in that game, especially in the second half. And it's a 2-for-1. He makes two guys miss with one move because the linebacker's looking the wrong half of the field, and he's gone. Same thing with the home run against Notre Dame. You've got to make a safety miss in the hole. Here's your chance. It's either going to be a gain of 8 or it's going to be a house call. And it was a house call because he can make guys miss. So it's not like he doesn't have the ability to make somebody miss. And then we also know that this year we've learned the breakaway speed is real for Jayshon Corbin.
He's back to being the explosive player.
It's not a practice myth.
Yeah. He's back to being the explosive player that went to Texas A&M. and then had that injury, obviously. And so
there are times you hear stuff about kids in the practice reports and the player only workouts, and you're like, okay, well, I can't wait to see that, and it never pans out. In fact, it's never close to reality. We heard about Jayshon Corbin's speed. I'm like, okay,
we'll see.
Maybe to get a 30-yard run,
right?
Not home runs like he's capable of. So if you're a Syracuse fan today, then that's one thing you're worried about.
He's strong too, man. That's a really strong guy. He's tough to get on the ground. So, yeah, I do. I get excited about that. As far as one other side note here, we'll see. And this doesn't really fall in the category of who's hot, who's cold, but it is something of interest today. And I think for most Florida State fans it is. I just wonder with McKenzie Milton, I was talking about the passing game being cold. And we were talking, if he continues to show that physically – He's held back because of that foot, and he can't do certain things. You know, we all saw him just fall for no reason last week twice. And he doesn't get a lot of his throws because of it either. How soon do you go to Chubba Purdy?
Well, I think that depends on the health of Jordan Travis first. And so are you stuck in what is like swampland, right? And you're just up to your knees in it, and you can't lift your legs up in the air? Mm. Are you stuck between this forever going back and forth between those two quarterbacks, or do you cut bait at some point? Because Purdy did make the two deep this week. That is something noteworthy. If you only pay attention on Saturdays and you don't tune into War Chant's great coverage and our great broadcast throughout the week, what are you doing? You should be. But Chubba Purdy was listed second on the depth chart. Now, Jordan Travis did return to practice this week, so it could render that moot. And we learned our lesson earlier in the season against Wake Forest. Jordan was not a co-starter, and yet he got more time in the first half than McKenzie. So it might not make sense by the end of the day. But if you've got real problems with both of those guys through four drives, it might not be the worst thing in the world.
Yeah, I would. In fairness, I did not see practice this week, so I don't know how much he repped. And I know he was getting more and more time with the twos than he had at any other point. And I know that that means we're getting closer. So I think, you know, and it's not a salve. It's not a cure-all. But it would be nice to have a functioning, able-bodied quarterback.
Yeah, that's correct. The able-bodied part
yeah.
of it. The functional part of it. Yeah, you might be able to run some basic things with relative consistency.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing I'd say from watching camp, going back to the days where, you know, Chubba did get a lot more time, and that was, you know, kind of a friction issue during camp about how we reported those things. But he can make a throw or two, and you go, oh, that's it. That's the guy. And if it's his first throw or two, you're going to say, the Savior's here. We're good. And then he'll make another throw or two, and you go, oh, he's god awful. Just if he comes in the game, temper your expectations to be it's going to be inconsistent. But he can still make some plays, whereas if we're looking in the second quarter and nobody's making plays, he's probably the better option at that point.
It's weird. They're in a conundrum because you got winnable games here, and this is a winnable game. And starting him, for example, is not really a viable option right now. He doesn't seem like he's ready to start a game. He's not good enough. He hasn't been good enough anyhow.
Oh, you'd be getting a lot more work with the ones in practice all week,
correct.
Right?
I mean, right. So it's not really an option. And then also, if you lose this game, it's almost as if you would say you have to start him the rest of the way.
Yeah, got to know what you have.
Yeah, figure it out. Can he play or not?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it'd be tough uphill climb for him because he'd be going in with this group.
Right. And on the road at North Carolina.
Yeah, that's
but
it. That's,
I, you know, they didn't show up anyway. Mac Brown had to challenge the fans. And how can you challenge fans after getting beat by Georgia Tech by 25?
That was Who's Hot, Who's Cold, brought to you by Barano Heating and Air Conditioning. They have been a very longtime supporter of the Jeff Cameron Show, also Tallahassee Game Day, and all the stuff that we do. So we appreciate them very much. If you have heating or cooling needs, make sure you call BaronoAC.com or go to BaronoAC.com or call 580-4029. More Tallahassee Game Day in a moment.
Tallahassee Game Day is brought to you by Zaxby's, the official chicken of sports fans. Tallahassee Zaxby's, proudly supporting Florida State University and Seminole Boosters for over 15 years. Now here's WarChant.com's Jeff Cameron and Tom Lang.
Today's defensive keys to the game are brought to you by Zaxby's. No matter the result on the field, you're always a winner when you stop at Tallahassee area Zaxby's for the best chicken fingers, signature salad, or chicken sandwich today. Support those who support local businesses and FSU. That's been Zaxby's way of doing business for over 15 years. Defensive keys to the game, man. This is a talking point from going back to the Monday show right after the Louisville loss. You know, being fundamentally sound and technique sound for the better part of that game, the second half certainly, is what breathed life into my talking points for the week, because even in defeat, it feels an awful lot like maybe they latched on to something and garnered confidence. Today will be a big test of that, because if they're disciplined, you'll see a lot of sacrifice being made here for others to make the tackle. The run fits and that kind of stuff, which were on display against Louisville, will have to be on display here. This is a Syracuse team that is dedicated to running the ball primarily. It's what they do best. So you're going to get somebody who's dedicated to it, wants to do it, and does it pretty well. And so you have to be disciplined. You'll have to focus on your keys and then come up and trigger and play with some violence. And they did it a week ago. So it's in there. It's in them to do. I would think this is a game that is perfect for this defense to lock in on stopping the run and putting Syracuse behind the chains the way teams have been able to put us behind the chains on first down. Our unbelievably low percentage of third and fourth down conversions are really the direct result of failing miserably on first down. And that is what we have to do today to Syracuse. Get them at second and 13. Get them at third and 7 or 8, because I actually think this could be a game where the secondary gets right. You could have a pick six today. You could have a couple of interceptions today. Syracuse doesn't throw it that well.
Yeah, that's an alert point, because Schrader will do the double pump thing. Remember when Sean McGuire first came in to play quarterback at FSU?
And we were like, no.
And that happened during the Clemson game. He was like, pump, pump, and then he'd still throw it to the same place.
Yeah, you can't do that.
Yeah, there are going to be opportunities if you want to cheat on a throw that you're going to be able to do so, especially if you can affect the quarterback. But I will ask you this question, because it leads to an overriding point. If the defense does something akin to what it did last week again this week, that is to say they give up, 24 points or 21 points in the first half, they look completely miserable for the first four drives, but then they recover and they play well again for 2.5 quarters. Is that acceptable?
No, unacceptable, completely unacceptable. The only way you get excited about this group is if there is real carryover from what was gained last week into the start of this game. If not, it's a mirage. It doesn't matter. It was born out of desperation. It was born out of perhaps Louisville not having the same mentality, whatever you want to say. But it won't be believable, and that'll be the last time that I'm ever fooled by this group under Adam Fuller.
Okay, so then that leads to the overriding point, which is it's now or never. It's now or never. This is it.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to play other games, but yes.
But you know what I mean.
Yeah, sure.
The conversation surrounding Adam Fuller. Today, it's now you better parlay what we believe to be momentum into reality. Because if you don't, even the people who are willing to stick this far down the road with Adam Fuller, I think you're going to leave. They're going to leave his side. Would you agree that that's fair?
Yeah, I absolutely do. I think that this is interesting, because we've preached continuity. We've preached patience, understanding that Florida State cannot continue to have to start at square one over and over and over again. And every time you blow it up, you're starting all over again. You lose your recruiting class when you fire coaches. You lose a lot. And then you got to start with a new message, and another guy comes in and he's got to put his hands on the program. And it's we can't keep doing this. But that does not mean that Florida State, from this game on, it doesn't mean that Mike Norvell isn't evaluating the staff very closely. And I think there are some guys coaching for their jobs. I believe that. I believe that there's a distinct possibility two or three guys get replaced if this continues.
Not on Monday, you're saying. Just
of course not. Stupid to fire people in the middle of the year unless there's some sort of outrageous act being perpetrated by a coach.
Like a quit.
Yeah.
You know, from the team, too. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, well, what happened at UConn, where the team just stopped listening to their coach?
Right.
And
right.
It was seen on the sideline while he was talking to them. They're like, get the hell away from me. Like, that can't happen. But short of that, you're not going to fire people in season. Doesn't do you any good. And I hope that doesn't happen. I'm tired of having to start over. Adam Fuller knows defense. But that's not all there is to being a good coach. Merely having the knowledge is a basic requirement. Sure, he has the acumen for the game. But being able to implement it, teach it, and have kids execute it, that's the job of the coach. So if there is a massive disconnect for whatever reason, and I don't really care. It's not my job to care what the reason is. If there's a massive disconnect And those kids aren't understanding what they're being asked to do, and they're not routinely put in a position to succeed, or they screw it up, whatever it might be, then you're going to have to make a change, period. So, yes, at some point you got to carry over successes from one week to the next. You know, the offensive stuff that we talk about all the time, Tom, a lot of that, I'm not worried about Dillingham. I think he's a little immature, but I'm not worried about his acumen for the game. And after all, Mike at any point could just take over that play calling and do all those things anyhow. And
he
often does, and that's fine. So I'm not worried there. A lot of their deficiencies, a lot of their ineptitudes are born directly out of not having playmakers in an offense that's designed for playmakers. They don't have any. They got two at running back, but again, they're contingent on a group up front that just can't block, and you don't have quarterback play right now. And I get why you took the chance that you did. You needed to go out and bring in Mackenzie Milton if he would come, because the thought being that if he's back close to being 100%, we've seen him play well in big games against good competition, and he was going to be better as a passer if he's healthy, we thought, than anybody you had on your roster. Problem is, he's not healthy, and that hasn't worked. But I get why you took the risk. And Jordan didn't take the step we thought he was going to take. Practice turned out to be just that. It was like being a really good player on the range. Trying to carry it out onto the golf course is very different than hitting balls on the range. And Jordan Travis got into a game and couldn't throw it. I mean, just wasn't real good at throwing the ball.
I remember that's the one thing when we were at Libations Fest and saying hello to our listeners and War Chant subscribers. When I was talking about Jordan, the thing I'd always say at the end of the conversation was, now, if he can do what he's shown in camp, you're going to see a completely different player. But there was always the, if he can bring that to the field,
right,
when the jersey's no longer green and you're live, that's the important thing. But, yes.
Yeah, so at the end of the day, I mean, they are held back by some of the personnel deficiencies on offense. The defense, you can say that about the linebackers, but really nowhere else. I mean, they've got good players, athletes in that secondary, and they've got real good players up front in that front four. So, and they have a pass rush.
They've got some athletes in the secondary. There might be a good player or two, but,
I'm saying they've got real good athletes in that secondary.
Yeah, athletes, yes, but players, that's where the development comes in, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think they've got good players back there. They're not always making good plays. They're not playing well. That's directly points to the coach, right? I mean, we get angry about that. I think they got players back there.
So we talked a bunch about it earlier on. That's why I'm not going to harp on it for too long, but that Sean Tucker is the Syracuse offense. They have other running backs, but they really focused on him and him alone in the Liberty game. So instead of that being the key of stopping him, which we talked about.
That is the biggest key.
But a different one is that Mike Norvell needs to stay on the headset, because if we have a couple of good plays in a row, Mike, listen to the third down call. Let's make sure it makes sense. Mike, at the end of halves, let's listen to the call as it comes in from the defensive coordinator to the defense.
You don't want the kid with one working foot to try to give it a go on fourth and two?
Well, I'm talking about the defense, third and 17.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were talking.
No, I'm saying micromanage the other side.
Yeah.
If Fuller, he doesn't like you a little bit after the game is over because, God, give me a second to breathe. Nope. You haven't earned that. So, Mike, keep on the defensive channel when we're on the field. Keep the mic hot in case you need to say something like, no. No.
No, we're not doing that.
Something else.
Well,
just be alert, because you can't. That's the one thing I think unequivocally we can agree on about Coach Fuller so far is, just in case, you might want to hedge your bets here and be alert in case you got to change a call. Use a timeout, whatever it is.
Really quickly, God Rama.
That name?
Yeah. Hey, man, y'all convinced Travis Hunter to sit out the rest of the season. He got banged up last night. Yeah, we broached this subject in the first hour, and we did say, that's right, that's all. We know you can play. We don't need you out there playing anymore. Yeah. And, you know, I'll point this out on the chat here. Greg writes, I think something besides football is going on with Travis J that's affecting his play on the field. I would echo that. I think that's true. Yeah. I think that's accurate. All I'll say about that situation is I'm rooting for that kid. That's all I'll say.
Damn. Okay.
So it's just been a tough go for him, and I wonder, because that is a really good athlete. Period.
Yeah.
He is an unbelievable athlete.
Yeah. You know, make him feel better.
Wide receiver.
That's right.
I agree.
Or they snap the ball to him.
I know. I'm serious about that. I've been serious about that. Since
snap the ball to him. Let him throw it up and run underneath it. Let's go.
Yeah. to me, honestly, again, let's over and over again say every week on this show and others, let's go ahead and get him the ball on the offensive side. I really believe you could do that. He's not playing well enough for you at corner.
That's correct.
For whatever reason.
100% correct.
So, I'd love to see it. He's a real good.
Well, you got to turn him into something at some. Like, if by the end of the season, let's just say you want to play the long game, if by the end of the season, he's not making plays in the secondary that are commensurate to his athletic ability. We did the same thing with Carlos.
Well, I was just about to say Carlos Williams was
safety,
all over the place.
Then
safety,
then linebacker.
Running back.
He went to the NFL as a running back, and he was one of the most explosive backs before there were problems that he took himself out of the league.
Yeah,
it wasn't a lack of ability.
Himself out of the league is what he did, yeah.
But remember, for Buffalo, I mean, he was like a 35-yard touchdown a week.
Carlos was arguably one of the five best athletes that have ever come through Florida State. That's how freakish
that's
he was.
That's a statement.
That's how freakish he was.
Because Randy Moss came through these hallways.
Well, for about an hour.
Yeah.
Go look
it was
at that.
A fun hour for Randy.
Go watch him again on that kick return.
Oh, which one? Miami?
Or yes, you can look at that one. Or the National Championship.
Oh, the National Championship. Man, yeah.
Nobody that big should ever run that fast.
Yeah.
That is unreal.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't really look like he's trying very hard.
He's just happy.
He's just happy running.
We're going to score. I'm going to catch Kermit,
and I'm 250 pounds.
Oh, it feels.
It's just insane. It's unreal. Tallahassee Game Day continues in a moment.
Tallahassee Game Day is brought to you by Zaxby's, the official chicken of sports fans. Tallahassee Zaxby's, proudly supporting Florida State University and Seminole Boosters for over 15 years. Now here's WarChant.com's Jeff Cameron and Tom Lang.
Today's game predictions are brought to you by Lanes Medical Shop with locations in Colquitt and Donaldsonville. Lanes Medical Shop offers all your medical supply needs. They even have delivery and emergency services available. Lanes Medical Shop, 229-758-9111. Tell them Jeff Cameron and WarChant.com sent you for a half-off discount. Thank you, Lanes. Well, what do you think? 27-24 sounded good earlier in the week to me.
Yeah.
I'm going to go 27-21. I'm going to change it. I reserve the right.
So then the race is to 22, is what you're saying. 22 points is good enough to get the job done.
God, that seems so low in a modern game of football, man, with everything being geared towards offenses. It's hard to imagine that will be the number. But, I mean, again, I don't think these two teams throw it very well. I think they both want to run it. They'll shorten the game that way. And, I think both defenses will have their fair share of success stopping the run.
Okay, so the two most likely outcomes are close win Florida State, close win Syracuse, in no particular order, right? Who is more likely to win by multiple scores in this game? Who has the better chance to do that, us or Syracuse?
I know this is a cop-out answer. I think it's equal. I really don't see.
Jeez.
I know it's a cop-out answer.
The army of chickens are not amused.
I don't see either one of these teams running away from the other. I really don't. The scenario you're describing would mean that Florida State comes out again flat on defense, and then that's the death knell where that's it. They're bereft of hope and they stop fighting. Then that's how blowouts happen. People just, go through the motions. But I just don't see that today. I don't see that at all.
I think if one team is going to win by multiple scores, it's going to be us, believe it or not. And that's not Garnet Gold Glasses talking. I'm just the explosiveness factor. I think Syracuse might get one on us. Everybody does. So I think they might get one. But if you're looking for opportunities to make multiple explosive plays happen, I think this running game is the one that could do that, even with the hurt offensive line. Now, my caveat to that is, let's not try to do perimeter stuff. Syracuse is impressive at getting downhill in their own right. These are mirror image teams in a lot of ways, but
you have to window dress, though, Tom.
I've watched Rutgers and Liberty move Syracuse defensive line 3 and 4 yards beyond the line of scrimmage and surge.
I bet they're both better offensive lines than Florida State's.
How much better?
Oh, probably appreciably.
Rutgers,
yes,
and Liberty.
Rutgers gave Michigan all they could handle last week. Now
I'm wondering about Michigan,
but look at us.
I understand.
So I'm just telling you, I think Rutgers offensive line's better than Florida State's. Yes.
But this is a point that Corey makes. We're routinely getting into the 300s and 400s in terms of total yardage on offense, and that's not all garbage time. That's not all the product of garbage time.
A lot of it is, though. A lot of it is. Not all, but a lot of it is. A lot of it's after a team is up on us big, and they go into a bit of a shell. And Florida State's able. And also, by the way, I think teams are willing. They don't want to give up big plays, and they have occasionally. But they're willing to, especially with a big lead, let you go up and down the field between the 20s. Because we stink in the red zone.
Right. Yeah. That's a problem. Need to get better in the red zone. Jalen's prediction is 17-12 Noles win. Ugly game, uglier score. That feels so appropriate.
I like it. I'll take it. I mean,
that's a touchdown, a field goal, and a safety for Syracuse, by the way.
Let's go. I'll take that score. I'll take that game. I'll take that win. I'll get the hell out of Dodge and smile and rest easy with a W.
Our pal Ryan says 24-13 Qs. Oh, dear God. You know why that would stink? It's because that means the defense played all right.
Yeah.
And so you're going to be stuck in limbo with the defense take. And then we're going to have to think about how bad the offense is for a week before we travel up to Chapel Hill, if that's what actually came to pass.
Well, one of the reasons Ryan is talking about Syracuse winning the game. Oh, by the way, Adrian Martinez could start for FSU at quarterback. Yes, that's how bad it is. He's actually...
They bounced back, didn't they?
Well, they lost last week in a game they should have won, but he had a big bounce back for about 4 weeks in a row. I was stunned. After watching that game against Illinois, I swore him off for life. But he's actually played pretty well for them. But one of the reasons I'm getting back to this that Ryan was citing that he had 24-13 Cuse winning, it is an area of concern for me. He was talking about the pass rush getting to Milton. I am worried about that. That's why really the emphasis on the run game and winning first down is really important.
Well, it's about the pass rush and how many bodies are committed because they can just rush three. And if that gets home, which it might.
Well, then you can't.
But you said throughout the week that you're happy if Qs brings pressures because
speeds them up.
Yes. McKenzie with a sped up internal clock quite good.
Yeah, he actually is because he knows pre-snap where he wants to go based on the look that he sees. And if he is able to diagnose pressure. Now, listen, he had a couple problems last week holding on to the ball too long and in the wake of some of those rushes, which really pissed me off. But there is a stretch there where he's operating very efficiently on time. As I always say, throw from whence they came. He did a lot of that for a stretch of about, I don't know, two or three series there where the offense got moving, throwing the ball. And it wasn't just like hot route stuff. I mean, he knew where to go. I was very impressed in those moments. He hasn't been able to sustain anything, no real high level of play. He doesn't have a good arm either. So if you're gonna bring pressure and he can get the ball out of his hands on time, in rhythm, intermediate to short routes, yeah, he can do that. That's what he can do.
All right, we'll go to a larger point for predictions. It's not just about this game. If you had to, now I'm not advising anybody to do this, but if you had to bet the mortgage and the college fund on a result today.
Game?
Nope.
Oh, any game.
Any game.
I don't know that I have one this week that I feel that great about, Tom. I've got games that I'm picking because that's what I do, but I don't.
Nothing is. So there could be chaos today. Because if something in the air, man, not that like Arkansas is going to beat Georgia outright or anything like that, but I mean, you look at the Ole Miss Alabama game, that could get dicey for Alabama.
It could. That could get dicey for Alabama, and it's a fun...
Kentucky-Florida could get dicey for Florida.
We'll see. I doubt it. Kentucky's defense hasn't been great. I don't see that defense holding up against Florida's rushing attack. I don't see
that. You like that game 3 weeks ago more than you do now?
Uh-huh. I've really paid attention to Kentucky because I do like that they throw the ball down the field now. You can win overs with Kentucky. I've been winning overs with Kentucky, but I don't love them defensively. This is a bad year for them to not be great defensively because they do some other things well finally on offense.
Yeah.
But yeah. Ole Miss Alabama is a fun game. I really love that game.
That total's at 80 points. Do you think it goes over?
Well, it cruised over last year. I know that. It was crazy.
10.
It's always hard to bet any game like that with a number that high. I'm not. But the noon game, by the way, as we get ready to sign off here, Arkansas-Georgia is the noon game. I'm very eager to watch that game. I think Arkansas wins it. But I'm also eager to watch it, and I got to see Cincinnati at 2:30 against Notre Dame. I'd like to see that game. Because I do think they instantly go in there able to shut down an entire aspect of Notre Dame's offense because Notre Dame can't run the ball. And it's interesting. Cincinnati plays really good run defense. So they come in basically one-handed.
Notre Dame might
be able to win that game.
They've got, I forget the kid's name, but they've got a running quarterback as well. That might be a day for him rather than Cone.
Yeah, maybe. The third string quarterback is the kid that came in last week, Kine or whatever his name was.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, he came in. He's 5'11". What are we
doing? That's not a kid. Maybe the running quarterback's hurt. But I remember they used him against Akron. The thing about Notre Dame is they've got all, you know, wake up the echoes and all that stuff. But teams go into that building and play them tough a lot.
All
like,
the time.
No-name teams. You know, yes. So, like, today Cincinnati, of course, is a top 10 program.
They're predicted to win.
But Akron can go in there, you know, and, right. and give them a run. Or Navy routinely goes in there and give them a run for their money. You see it all the time. So that place is not as fearsome as it's been over, you know, over the generations. So that could be a score that maybe in the second quarter, third quarter, you go, oh, my God, Cincinnati came for blood today. I wouldn't be shocked by that.
I think talk about a game that people are not going to want to watch, but maybe I will because I'm, I guess, a masochist. Michigan at Wisconsin. I'm going to watch.
Oh, my God.
I know.
You are a masochist.
I'm going to watch it.
On that note, goodbye, YouTubers. Goodbye.
Bye, YouTubers. Good to be with you. We'll sign up for the radio group in a moment. No, I'm going to. I'm going to watch that game. I see you laughing at me.
Yes, that's I never expected you to say you wanted to watch that game.
I really
Big
do.
Ten.
A whole lot of hitting going on there, man. A whole lot of offense deficient, hard-hitting defense. There you go. I'm going to do it. I'm going to watch it. That's coming up at noon. Can't wait. I'm going to race home to watch.
I got to go get my Andre.
Bone dry.
Bone dry.
Good work, Matthew. Good work, Tom. Thanks to everybody on War Chant TV and all the radio listeners on 93.3 Real Talk Radio. We appreciate you. Thanks to Zaxby's. Good job. Thanks to all of you. Go Noles! Let's get this one, guys. Let's talk about a win on Monday. Let's talk about a win in the postgame show with T. Lizzie and Gene Williams. Woo! 10 minutes after it's over. Yeah, let's talk about a victory. Go Noles!
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.